Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Reese, this is where you introduce yourself.
I am Reese Koffler-Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 24th, 2011, episode 214, sponsored today by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning to my co-host of the day, Reese Koffler-Stanfield. How the heck are you?
Great, Jamie. How are you this morning?
Doing great. We have kicked Glenn out. He is gone.
I like this. No, we miss him, but this is so fun to be here today.
Well, I'm very glad you are here. Don't worry about saying anything wrong or anything. We'll just edit. Oh, wait, no, we can't because we're live. And I know you hosted, didn't you host the dressage show at one point?
I did. I have co-hosted a couple times, but this is my first time on Horses in the Morning, so a little different format, but I'm really excited to be here, and I got up this morning, and I did my workout, and I already rode a horse, so I am ready to rock and roll.
Oh, you make me mad. It's just turned 6 a.m. here, and there was no way I was getting up, working out, and riding a horse before this show. Not a chance. Well, let's say hey to Jennifer. She's going to tell us what's coming up on today's show, and then I have a special surprise for Glenn. I got a song for him.
Oh, boy. You're going to make him wreck his car. Well, today on the Thursday Horse Show edition, we start out actually talking about Horse Show. We're going to have one of the judges that judges the competitions on horseshow.com stopping by to chat with us about being a judge, and I'm sure we'll touch on the topic on the unique qualities of being a judge on horseshow.com. And after that, Darlie Newman, our buddy from Equitrekking, will be stopping by, and they've got some really cool stuff cooking over there on Equitrekking. So if you are a travel lover, a horse lover, and prone to entering contests, you must stay tuned for Equitrekking. And last but not least, the Chronicle is going to be here, and it's going to be more dressage because we're going to chit-chat a little bit about the European Dressage Championships, and we'll find out whether or not our buddy intern Megan got quaked.
Yes, that was scary.
Did you get quaked, Reese?
I couldn't feel it, but Travis is my husband's in Boston this week, and he felt it. So he texted me and said he was all okay, everything was fine, don't freak out. But, yeah, he felt it in Boston.
Wow. I know that we had some listeners that posted on Facebook that they also felt it in Boston. So definitely scary. And I feel so bad for the people in North Carolina because, like, an earthquake wasn't enough. Now they've got a hurricane coming to hit them. It's just been a tough week for the East Coast.
It has. It has. And we were just in North Carolina at the beach. So I hope they all do well. And it's such a beautiful area. So I hope everything goes okay.
Absolutely. Well, Reese, not sure if you get to listen to our show very often because you are always, pretty much working out or riding a horse at this time in the morning. So what Glenn and I do every day is we do a daily whinny, and it's kind of like a daily shout out to somebody or something or, something that happened to us or somebody you want to recognize. Do you have a daily whinny today?
I do. I'm going to daily Winnie.
Hold on. Hush. Hold on. Here we go. Ready? Now go.
Okay. I'm gonna give my daily Winnie to Rachel Sawinski. She is my new assistant who started about 3 weeks ago, and she's actually out in the barn right now doing chores, and she's wonderful, and she's doing a great job. She's a recent graduate of Bethany College, and she picked up and moved her life here to Lexington, and we're so excited to have her, and I thank her a lot for everything she's doing.
Very nice. My daily Winnie today goes out to a gentleman by the name of Kurt Boyd. Kurt Boyd and his friend Juan. Kurt Boyd came out to my house yesterday, and I had talked about this on the show yesterday, that I was going to move some stalls, and I know that Jennifer was in on this as well. And I started talking like Mr. Kurt Boyd when I was doing the show, because I can't help it. When you talk to somebody who sounds like this, then you're going to start talking like that, whether you like it or not. And so we were on the phone, and he's talking about, I can get on out there and move these stalls for you, no problem. I'll have them out there in a couple hours, and then we can pick them up and just take them on over down the next place. And move. And I was like, wow, where is that guy from? Like, that's Southern, but that's a different kind of Southern than I'm used to. So I told him, I told Jennifer I was going to find out where he was from. Well, my friend Kurt Boyd of Kurt Boyd Barns here in Phoenix, Arizona, is from, I asked him where he's from, and he said, I'm from South America. And
wow.
I said, what? You're from South America? He goes, that's Dallas, Texas for you.
That's great.
That's great. So the reason that he's going to get my shout-out, my daily Winnie today, is because at 7 a.m. my time, they showed up at my house, him and Juan, and they pulled their trailer in. And what the reason they were here, Reese, is I am moving to a farm about 2 miles down the road. My husband bought a new place. We are so
congratulations. I can tell you all about that.
Oh, I know you can. However, I'll consult you when I start to build my covered arena. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we basically are moving down the street, but we've been renting this place that we're at now. And so all of our stalls and everything we've bought for the barn and the wash racks and everything was made to be portable. However, it is August. And it was 114 degrees yesterday, and
oh my gosh.
It's a little bit humid. Yeah, so everybody is struggling.
Oh.
Dry heat, my butt, okay? There ain't no dry heat in August. Everything is wet and hot.
Oh, my gosh. We moved in July last year, so I and my parents moved in August, so we moved two farms, and it's quite an adventure. Not fun.
It really is. Well, it's such an adventure to me, and I was describing yesterday how I was moving, and I was going to get, like, a box out of my tack room and then put it in the – because, of course, we move in our horse trailers. Put it in the horse trailer, jump in the pool, go back to the tack shed, grab another big box, put it in the horse trailer, go jump in the pool.
Oh, my gosh. That actually sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, not so much, really.
Yeah, no, moving is just never fun. And then when you start to move animals and the barn, and it really not fun. But I will tell you, Travis and I have taken the summer to enjoy our farm, and it's been great. But the first 6 months, it wasn't very fun, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was really tough, but I felt bad for my my friend Kurt Boyd and Juan, because they stayed out there. They worked for 8 hours. They thought it was only going to take them a couple, and it took them 8 hours to move everything. And I'm not going to tell tales, but my friend Kurt Boyd from Dallas, Texas, he ain't young.
Wow.
And he was struggling. I kept trying to get them to jump in the pool, do anything. They just worked so hard. And I could tell by the end of the day that Mr. Boyd was hurting a little bit. And I felt that I was like, just come back tomorrow. Do it later. It's fine. It doesn't have to be today. He's like, well, we got jobs tomorrow. We got to go ahead and get this done today. Okay.
Oh, Kurt. Oh, what a superstar.
I know they were great. So we're going to actually hire him for some other things down the road when it gets a little bit cooler. But Kurt Boyd and Juan. Juan has worked for Kurt Boyd for 32 years.
Oh my gosh.
They're like partners. So anyway, good people are still out there. If you need anybody in the Phoenix area, just call Kurt Boyd Barnes. He and Juan will come on over and take care of you.
I love it. Oh, yay, Kurt and Juan. Thank you. I love it.
Do you know exactly where we're going to talk about horses, by the way, here in a couple minutes. We've got our first guest coming up at horseshow.com. We will get into horses. We did receive a complaint that we didn't talk about horses enough in the beginning of the show.
Okay.
Literally. Yeah, we did. Glenn and I did. We got in trouble. So we will talk about horses in a couple minutes. But I wanted to admit, do you know where Glenn is going right now?
No, I don't know. He did not put that in any communication. I don't know if he's hiding something. What is he doing?
Well, let's just say that Glenn is currently driving to, where is it, Jennifer, Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
He's driving to Pennsylvania, Reese, and I believe he is currently sporting, maybe he's going to put him on, like, in a rest stop or something on the way there, but the guy is going to a Renaissance festival, and he is probably wearing, at this moment, a Peter Pan hat and tights.
I had that hat.
Yeah. Did you have the tights?
This is funny, Jamie and Reese. You touched on a funny subject. Where the fair is located in Pennsylvania, the only major road that gets there is the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which is a toll road. There are toll booths manned by real human beings. So every summer during the 13 weeks or so that this fair happens, and it's been happening for 20-some-odd years or more, the toll takers have kind of gotten used to the fact that people come driving through the toll booths already in costume.
If you're going to go,
these guys driving, you got to dress like Vikings with horns sticking out their heads and all this kind of wacky stuff.
Well, I have a song, just a quick song that I would like to play for Glenn. So, Glenn, driving down the Pennsylvania Turnpike right now, wearing your tights and your little Robin Hood hat. This song is for you, my friend.
Let's face it, you got to be a man to wear tights.
We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. We run from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like sissies, but what would you say, or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights. Always on guard, defending the people's rights. La 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 la.
Man to wear tights.
I'm speechless. I really just don't know what to say. Wow. I hope Glenn has a great time wearing tights. Wow.
Yeah. No, if you don't know, for those who don't know, like Glenn was like a big deal in the Renaissance Fair world before he founded the Horse Radio Network. And he was kind of a special king, from what I understand. He's told me a million times, but I don't really listen. He was like the king of the Renaissance Fair, and he would like deliver speeches and talk to the wenches and all that. So, Glenn, enjoy wearing your tights, buddy.
Jennifer, that's how you met Glenn, wasn't it?
Yes, he was wearing tights when we met. straight legs, okay?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And is it?
I
and,
hope
you know,
he
it's,
has
it's
a
Renaissance
great time.
And all that stuff. So the guys kind of wear these little dressy, skirty kind of things, and his bum's kind of nice too.
I like it. I like it. Whatever. Whatever it takes. It's a morning show. That's all
I can say. Well, thanks, Katie, on Facebook, went ahead and posted awesome song choice. And then she wrote, possibly the best movie ever. Now, yes, I agree. It was an awesome song choice. Best movie ever would be a little bit of a stretch. That is Robin Hood, Men in Tights were playing.
Well,
so maybe a Robin Hood hat. Well, I think we might have our guest on the line right now, Reese, and she is ready to come on the phone and talk to us. Now, she is calling in on behalf of horseshow.com. Why don't you go ahead and introduce Natalie Lamping?
Great. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Natalie. Natalie has a lot of information on her website about judging, competition, and trading experience, and her website is www.natalielamping.com. Natalie has judged all the practice rides that were submitted for our recent NHAYRC sponsorship program, as well as rides that were submitted in horseshow.com's opening dressage show. So it's my pleasure to introduce Natalie. She's a wonderful judge and trainer. And hi, Natalie, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on this morning.
Sure. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm co-hosting. This is my first time co-hosting the morning show. So
my first time on a show, so we're together.
I like it. And that's why Jamie's here. She'll keep us all in line. But Natalie, tell us a little bit about horseshow.com and your relationship with the organization.
Well, people send them videos. And at this time, we take any kind of video. You know, your friend can videotape you riding your ride. And they send it in to horseshow.com, and they enter a class. And then when they have it ready, they send it to me, and I watch the video. And then I have to stop it because I type in the scores and the comments. And sometimes, depending on where the video is taken from, I look at it again because it might not be clear of what I'm seeing, and I'm trying to be fair. And what's really good about this versus real horse show, there you have a scribe and you talk to them, but this goes in real time, and it's like you're like an instamatic camera watching what happens in front of you. You have to make a decision, give a score, a comment, and you go on to the next one. So with the horseshow.com, what is really good about that is the comments, because I can go back, look at it again, reanalyze it, and they might not do this all the time, but as long as I'm judging it, that's what I'm doing. And so the comments are more in-depth because I don't have a time constraint, so it's just my time. And so then I can make a suggestion of what the rider could have done better to present the horse, or what they shouldn't have done, or how to deal with it. And that's what makes this interesting from the aspect of me judging it.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. So, Natalie, let's say we were here at my barn and we wanted to have you judge a test for us. What
sure.
is the process? How do we kind of go along, and what do we do before
horseshow.com? Well, you get someone to videotape it, and you send it to Gil at horseshow.com, or I don't know if it goes to Glenn. I'm not sure on that department. And then they put it online and send it to me to judge.
I love it. So do you dress up? Do you need to be braided? Do you need to be in your coat?
No, it can be anything right now. Right
Wonderful.
Now, the ones I did for the young riders and the juniors, some of them just rode the test at home. And one of them, or two of them, there was there were other people in the ring and they were not real polite, they would get in the way. And I thought, you know, if they know that Fasten Stone's calling, they could at least stay out of the way. But anyway, no matter. It was pretty lax. And some of the rings weren't exactly regulation size, a little shorter, whatever. And then I had to, in my comment, you know, like cutting the corner or whatever, have to be a little bit creative there because of what they were dealing with. And, they, you know, they had wraps on. Some of the rides were from a horse show that somebody had actually judged it. But by sending it to me, it's not so much, I'm not criticizing anything else. It's the comments that are so important in this.
Sure.
But then the other thing is, where else can you, let's say if you lived in Hawaii and you send in your thing and you entered a class, and once this gets really going and people, everybody's excited about it, and somebody from New York sends it in, you can compete against that person without leaving home.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm not saying horse shows are important because of all the electricity and going to the new venue, other judges, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's still right in real time going really quick. And it's not, oh, I can go back and do it again. Or as a judge, I can replay it and make a decision. It's, you know, that's the difference. But you still get a little bit of being able to compete against someone else, or you get feedback where without having to pay the expense of travel and hotel and food and stabling and all that. Oh. And maybe you're just trying to get ready to go to a show and you want to see if you're really ready to go to the show.
I think that's amazing. I think it's a wonderful thing. Do you find it harder or easier to judge, you know, in this with wraps on and that kind of thing, or do you find
the
it wrap, easier
the,
to judge?
The wraps doesn't matter. Sometimes the angle is a little bit challenging from where,
sure.
You know, like you see one gets videotaped from the corner, one gets videotaped from the short side, one from the back, you know, so you – it's a little apples and oranges at time, but I try to keep it,
sure,
this perspective the same. And when you're training, you get used to seeing things from many different angles and,
yeah,
recognize certain things.
Where do you like, you know, if we were to send in the video, where would you prefer? Would you prefer to be at sea? Or where's the best place, where would you like,
well,
the video?
Well, I think if you really want to be going to a horse show and getting ready for that, would probably be best from sea. The alternative,
okay,
would be because then you see all the lateral work or all the coming head on, the straightness and all that. If you're really interested in your horse's frame and the engagement and the extensions and stuff, then obviously that's a little better from the long side. And,
sure,
if you go to a championship, you're going to have judges on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit your choice, but probably the best,
sure,
is from C.
Now, Natalie, question here. I wonder, like, so you're kind of a big deal in the dressage world and a very big deal. Is it, how hard is it to step out of that I'm a dressage judge, the horses need to be braided, the horses need to be polished, spit and polished, coming down, this is a big horse show, to kind of letting those, letting that go and being able to look at it as it is? Is it difficult to let go of the expectation and just look at what you have? Has that been a challenge for you?
No. Because,
really,
if you take all that stuff away, it's still you and the horse and the movement.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I think
I don't know if I believe
right.
you.
But
I
when
think
they go ahead and actually do it as a horse show, then I think you need to have the dress and everything. And actually, in real horse shows, it doesn't say anywhere your horse has to be braided. But the horse's mane should be really neat and tidy. So if you don't have a really, really short mane or whatever, it better be braided.
Right, right.
I have lots of horses that they have to be braided, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, Natalie, when it comes to, let's say, the process. Okay, so I film my video. I've got my students. Let's say we want to send in some videos. How do we do that? What's the process that I would go through?
I can't answer that completely because I haven't had to do that.
Okay.
I think we send it to them, and I think it's Glenn that then puts it online, and the it's been a process to improve the dressage test. So I can scroll it and watch the video. I can also stop and make the video bigger, you know, so I can see it closer, like pan in and stuff like that, like you do on YouTube stuff. And and they now added, this has been a work in progress, we gotten to where we can add half points now, because at a CDI you can add half points, you know, if you're doing an FEI class and let me know, or, and then in December we will be using half points. And they gave me a little place at the bottom now to put the regular comments rather than putting more comments in the last few scores. So it's, that part's been a work in process, I mean in progress. And I'm not limited to how many comments I can give. I can just ramble on because it'll take all of it.
Oh, that's great. Now, do you have a scribe when you do this? Or are you sitting at
I do the whole thing. That's why it takes longer.
Yeah.
When you're doing a regular horse show, you have a scribe, and then you go lickety-split, and you get it done. So
sure.
I probably spend easily 15 minutes to sometimes 20 minutes a ride.
Wow. That's exciting, though. I mean, I you know, certainly getting ready for a CDI or getting ready for the Young Rider Championships or even the regional championships coming up.
Right.
It sounds like just an amazing opportunity to get your feedback and for trainers and our students, for us to sit down, go through the video. It's an amazing opportunity for all of us.
And then there's some people that, for whatever reason, love to ride and are want to further their education, but they don't actually have the time or the means to get to a horse show. And so then they'll get all ready and have somebody videotape them. And I score it just as if they were at a horse show, so they get feedback. And that's great in that venue.
Oh, I think it's wonderful.
It's definitely a great thing. And everybody, please go check it out, horseshow.com. You can actually submit your test to Natalie. It's really not that difficult. You go on, you sign up for an account. If you sign up right now, they'll give you $20 credit. To sign up for the horse shows, you get $20 worth of prepaid credits on your account, and you can use these credits towards your entry fees and judge shows. There are actual shows where you win money, so please, everybody go on and sign up for a horseshow.com account. It'll definitely be worth it. You can learn. It'll be fun. You can have Natalie Lamping judge one of your tests. So thank you, Natalie, so much for being on with us, and good luck with everything. I can't wait to I'm going to send you a test. I'm gonna enter one of your classes.
I am definitely gonna
send
my
very
students.
This has been fun.
My students are gonna be out there soon. That is for sure.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
I want Reese Koffler Stanfield to enter a show on horseshow.com and submit it to Natalie Lou Lamping. And Natalie, I want you to rip her to shreds. No, just kidding.
Okay. I will do that.
You can be kind. No.
Okay.
Hi, Natalie.
Kind.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, let's see here. Natalie did great. You did fantastic. That was your first Horses in the Morning interview, so great job today.
Well, thanks. I'm really enjoying this. This is really fun. I don't know. I may have to, you know, edge Glenn out of his seat more often.
That'd be fine with me. We have a call, and just a listener calling, I'm sure. So I would like to say hello to a caller that said they were calling for me. Hello, caller.
Edging me out of my seat. I can hear this show. It is a live show. I have the technology to listen in, just saying. And I heard the part earlier in the whole Men in Tights thing. So, Jennifer, I have a daily Winnie. Could you play the music, please?
Jennifer doesn't have a music. I do, and so you're going to have to ask my permission.
Okay, can you play the music, please? I have a daily Winnie.
Okay.
I got this email yesterday from Justin Harrison out of Colorado that said, Glenn, you just get to be more fun to listen to all the time. Not only are you a driver, a Greyhound person, and just funny, now you do the Ren fairs too. I'm a medieval recreationist, and I work with a full contact jousting group at the Ren fairs as well. I will be at opening
awesome.
Weekend in Ohio Renaissance Festival, which isn't too far from you. Have fun this weekend, and fare thee well, good gentle. See, there is one listener out there that understands it. One. I got one right here. Just saying.
I feel like we got caught by the principal a little bit here. Does anybody else have that same feel?
I am a medieval recreationist. Did somebody actually say that they're a medieval recreationist? I have something that I would like to play for, what was his name?
His name is Justin. It'd be nice to him. He listens to a lot of the shows.
Here, Justin.
Let's face it, you got to be a man to wear tights.
Have fun, guys.
Bye, Glenn. Good to hear
bye.
Your voice.
Thank you, Reese.
Oh, my. Yeah,
I feel like we got caught by the principal or something.
I know. We got in trouble from the boss. You think it's the principal. I know it's the boss. We're going to actually have to, let's see, is Darlie ready, Jennifer?
She is.
You might be. Oh, she is. Oh, right.
I was trying not to laugh out loud.
Well, let me introduce Darlie Newman. She is the host of the PBS show Equitrekking, and I mean, if you want to go on an equestrian vacation, there is nobody and nowhere you should go besides equitrekking.com, because it is such a great website full of all the things you can do and places you can go in the entire world. And Darlie Newman has made it, I don't know how she did it, but she has made it a job and a lifestyle to travel with her husband all over the world and ride horses. I mean, any cooler.
We just went to Africa, so now we've really, you know, gotten exotic. We went to Botswana to film two new episodes that will start airing this winter. So I've been, you know, without any email, no communications, out with wildlife, really exciting riding, really exciting.
Oh, my God, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, like, I was excited about it before we left. I was like, oh, Africa, that'll be really cool. I'm excited to ride with wildlife. But it was amazing. It was really, really awesome.
So, Darlie, are you guys filming the episodes for the upcoming fall season right now?
Well, we're actually, it'll be this winter when these debut. So, yeah, winter we'll have a bunch of new episodes rolling out along with, you know, some of our other evergreen episodes coming back to PBS, because we filmed now the Botswana episodes make 35 episodes, which is, that's a lot. We've gone a lot of places, so.
Oh,
exciting.
That's awesome. I just know that you guys aren't doing any new ones, because I have my DVR set to record every new episode of Equitrekking, and I haven't had any in forever, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's summer, so probably this is the time you would film. But tell us a little bit, can you give us a heads up on Africa, a little behind the scenes?
Honestly, like, so it was neat because I'm a pretty good rider. I would say I'm a good rider, but you have to be a good rider to go on a horse safari because you may encounter wild animals. And, I mean, I was charged by an elephant. Like, really,
whoa.
My heart really did drop down there into the water that I was in on my horse. And actually, one guy went off his horse, so it was quite an interesting thing. But just being that close to wildlife, I mean, we rode alongside giraffes, and, you know, we saw all kinds of animals that Jamie, I didn't even know what they were when I was here at the time, and I knew a lot about wildlife. I was like, wow, this is definitely Africa. It's definitely a new experience. But we actually did go one place, too, that was more geared towards beginning riders or people that have, you know, younger kids that want to ride, and it was It's right outside of Mound. This is like a safari gateway town. It's a place called Royal Tree Lodge, and there you can go and actually ride with wildlife, and you're on a private reserve, so it's a bit more contained. So you don't have to, you know, be in, you know, very, very skilled rider. Like, you can bring your kids and go and ride. So that was really different and neat, too. I tried that as well. So it kind of, you know, there was definitely a range in the different places we could go and the things that we could do. We also went to the largest, one of the world's largest salt pans. It's the site of an ancient lake that dried up, and you look like you're riding on the surface of the moon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Darla, you skipped over one little part here, and you kind of fast-forwarded through it. Did you say that you were getting charged by an elephant and you fell off?
No, I didn't fall off. No, Jamie. I stayed on my horse. I was so glued to that saddle. there was a group of five of us, and one guy to my left he went off his horse because, I mean, the horses react when that happens, too. So the thing is, like, you can't run away. Like, you don't want to run because you can't outrun these elephants. The horses cannot go as fast, and the elephant will take you down. So
I sure could try. I would die trying.
I know. Well, it was so funny because, obviously, I've never been in that situation before, and my riding guide was just telling me, he said, you just, whatever happens, just stay by me, just do what I do and listen to me. And I was so close to him. I was like, you're not leaving without me, buddy.
So what exactly does, because Reese in her dressage world and me in my eventing world, we may someday be faced with an elephant charge. And what are we supposed to do? What do you do when the elephant charges you? What are the rules besides stay by your guide?
Well, the thing is, honestly, I can't read all the elephant signs. Like, if their trunk is doing a certain thing or their ears are doing a certain thing, then you know if it's a real charge or a mock charge. Our elephant got very close to us. I mean, really close. I have a picture on Facebook, but it was a mock charge. Like, he eventually stopped. The thing is, if it's a real charge, then you do need to be getting out of there. And I wouldn't have known. I just had to kind of trust. You really have to trust your guide in these situations, which is interesting because you're just meeting them, you know. Like, you're just coming in there for a couple of days, and it's like you're trusting your life.
So, Darlene, I have a question for you. So I of course ride a ton, but my husband is not really a rider, and we wanted to go to Africa and ride. Well, obviously, I don't think I could handle being chased by an elephant, but I think you could really not. What is something that we could do that would be a lot of fun if we're kind of a non-rider in the family?
Well, the thing is, if you have a non-rider with you and they are not going to be riding, you can go to one of these safari places. And Jamie, like, you could go riding and, you know, your husband could do other things like go out in a canoe or go fishing. I went fishing as well. Or you can go to a more contained private reserve like Royal Tree Lodge or something where, you know, there aren't elephants there. There's specific game that's not going to, you know, necessarily be charging you or anything like that. And, you know, not everyone gets charged by an elephant. We just happen to be in that lucky little situation.
Makes for good TV.
Yeah.
Do you worry if I were to go riding and I send my husband out on the canoe, would you worry about like a hippo or something like that?
Well, that was interesting because I actually went fishing and we went to a place known as the Hippo Pond where there were about six hippos kind of across the pond from us. But if you keep a safe distance and you kind of keep watch on them, you're really okay. It's just that you want to know where they are. That's the main thing, I think, with the hippos. We did not get close to them because hippos are really dangerous. They're one of the big five, which are, you know, the five most dangerous animals that you can encounter. So we definitely kind of stayed away from them. But, you know, I did, Jamie, I was thinking about when we rode through a lot of water. We were in the Okavango Delta, which is the largest inland delta in the world. And you sort of island hop on horseback. You ride from island to island, and you actually ride through water, and sometimes your horse is swimming to get from one island to the next.
Awesome.
So I was a little, it was really awesome, but I was a little bit wary of crocodiles because there are crocodiles there. And I was
Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't even think about that. Oh, that's horrible.
Like, I said, how am I going to know if there's a crocodile under here, and they're like, well, they usually kind of stay away from the horses because they're moving on through the water. And honestly, I did not see a crocodile. I didn't even see one. And I think, you know, I don't know why. Maybe we're just lucky. I was looking around in the water because the water is pretty clear. You can see, you know, what's kind of around you. So, yeah, that was one of my main concerns, that I did not see any crocodiles at all. So,
no,
they're
sorry,
there.
You did not see them, but I guarantee they saw you. That is for sure.
No, you know, it's like the bears in Alaska. They see you.
Yeah. So what are the five? Before, I want to talk to you about the contest you guys are having, but you mentioned there's five, like, most dangerous animals. And I want to make a guess. And, Reese, do you have a guess? I would say probably moose, hippos, lions and tigers and bears. I don't know.
I'm so scared. Yeah, I'm just trembling from the hippos and the crocodiles and the elephant. I haven't recovered yet. I'm still thinking about that. So, yeah. Ooh, hippos. I'm going hippo.
Well, the big five, it's the lion, elephant, cape buffalo, leopard, and rhinoceros. Those are the five. Those are the five.
Oh, I forgot about.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude. I will go on a safari if I am in an armored car or a tank.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's an option, too. And we did a lot of driving around. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you do have the guides that you're with. You know, it takes a special certain person, I think, to be a safari guide, because you have to be able to read those animals as best you can. And, you know, you're really in the middle of nowhere. So it's, I don't know, it's an interesting person that you kind of go out with, too. They're definitely adventurous people. So, yeah, but you can be in a car, but you got to be on horseback, you guys.
Yeah, okay. I would imagine
I'm a dressage rider. The hack is around the field, but you know, I don't know.
So, Darlie, before we have to let you go, before we run out of time, we got a couple minutes to talk about this contest you guys are having, and this sounds more like Reese's speed as far as the equitrekking goes. Do you have all of it in front of you? Can you tell us everybody about it?
I do. Well, we're really excited. We've never done a contest like this. For the first time ever, you guys could actually win a guest spot starring on equitrekking, starring on one of our episodes that we're going to actually film in Michigan on Mackinac Island, which you guys may know. There are no motorized cars on Mackinac Island. You have to get around on horseback or driving a carriage, and we're going to film there, and a lucky winner is going to get to come with us and be in the episode, have dinner with us, hang out. It's an all-expenses-paid trip, and the way that you can win this is you have to go to mylegendaryvet.com. You nominate your vet. It's part of the Bear Animal Health Legend of the Year Award. And, you know, the vet's going to be announced in November, and they will receive $5,000 also, and they can donate it to their equine-related charity cause of their choice. So basically, it's all good things. So horse owners win, a vet can win, and you know, we recognize the vets for the great things they're doing, and then you get to come with us on equitrekking. So it's a huge adventure, basically.
So what we have to do... Yeah, we have to go to mylegendaryvet.com. And again, this is sponsored by Bayer. You go on there and I'm repeating it to you so I can make sure I got it. You go on mylegendaryvet.com, you nominate your vet. That automatically puts you in the running for the guest spot on equitrekking and puts your vet in the running for a $5,000. See, and now most vets, I know large animal vets, the $5,000 donation to a charity would be themselves. So they have to actually donate it to an equine. So basically you win an award and you get to give the money to somebody else is what we tell
right.
our vets.
Yeah, awesome. And then it's your vet or your veterinary technician. And, I mean, we all know at our stables how much how much our vets are doing, whether they're just working with our horses or even helping out with unwanted horses. There's a lot of different things that you could, you know, extol about your vet. So it's a neat thing all the way around. And one of you could come with us and we could go carriage driving together.
I think it's wonderful. Oh, I've always wanted to go to Mackinac Island. That is definitely my speed. That's what I'm talking about. That's the adventure I can handle.
Now, with this, Reese, if you were to win, you win the all-expenses-paid trip to Mackinac Island. You get to ride along with Darley, and you also get dinner with Darley and the entire Equitrekking crew. You also win a Charles Owen helmet, which is like, I'm assuming the AR-8 because it's saying a $400 value. They say it's the perfect accessory for your television debut. And you also get a DVD of your time on the show, and you get to basically share that with everybody. So it's a great deal, all expense paid trip to Mackinac Island, and you get to start on Equitrekking with Darley. I am entering, as we speak, my legendarybet.com. I'm
going
to have to find out a vet that I would appreciate doing.
I have a great veterinary team, so I am going to my legendarybet.com to sign up. This is a great thing, and I would love to meet Darley and your crew. I am sure you guys have wonderful stories, so I would love it. So I'm entering,
yeah.
Actually.
Well, it's cool, and Mackinac Island is so cool, too, because, I mean, you can drive yourself around in a horse-drawn carriage, which I think is really neat, and just exploring any area on horseback, as you guys know, is always awesome, and an area with so much history, I'm excited to go, too, because I've never been, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Darley, the new episodes will start in the fall, you said, or close to the winter. What other ones are we going to see besides Africa, which is amazing enough, but I'm sure you could probably do two or three out of that Africa trip.
We are, actually. We have two new episodes from Botswana, and that's going to take you really all around the country because we hit some really diverse areas. So, and those are very exciting. But there's also, you know, it's exciting, but it's mixed in with beautiful sunsets, you know, riding into the sunset, and we camped out and all that kind of stuff. So those will be exciting. We're also working on filming. Obviously, we'll film Michigan in the spring, and we're looking at going to some parts of Central America to kind of mix in with Africa. So stay tuned for that. We'll probably be there this fall.
I've got to ask, how many vaccinations do you and your husband have to travel to all of these places?
I am well vaccinated. Yeah. Well, you definitely have to get your vaccinations, and we actually took malarial pills as well, so because, you know, you just don't want to mess around with that stuff. So, you know, go to like a travel clinic or something, or actually my doctor's office did it when I went in there for a checkup, and they had all these vaccinations there. So I had needles poking in me in various places. They couldn't actually do them all in my arm because there were too many.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I'm assuming it's totally worth it. Please, everybody, go check out Darley Newman from Equitrekking. It's on PBS. Go to your DVRs and or your TiVos or whatever you people have, and go set your thing to record every single episode because it is so much fun to watch. And, Darley, you just do such an awesome job hosting this show.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jamie. And so fun to talk to you guys this morning and catch up a bit.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again.
It was great to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thanks for filling in for Glenn. We miss him, but I know he's having fun.
I know. Well, he's having fun wearing tights.
Okay. Yes. All right, Darley, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon, and definitely keep us up to date on how – like, if I enter too many times, just have your people call me and just be like,
okay.
Stop entering.
Me too.
That sounds good.
All right.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you not just love her? Is she
oh
not
my gosh,
awesome?
She's so precious. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the vaccinations. And if I got – I don't think I ever want to be in a situation in my life of being charged by an elephant. I will just tell you that right now.
It just wouldn't
be my job.
Reese,
wow.
You are such a DQ. Let it go, girl.
I know.
Get up.
I am. I am. What's wrong with me? I know. But that's – what a cool adventure. I just think, you know, again, it just shows how many cool things that we can do with our horses. And, you know, they're just such amazing animals, and the opportunities that they give us is phenomenal. So, I mean, I'm right there. But I don't know about me in Africa. You know, I'm not sure.
It would definitely be a big challenge for you. Now, we have to totally – change pace right now. I don't know if you know this, Reese, but every day, due to popular demand, I read a chapter of Black Beauty. Did you know that?
I knew that, actually, which is so exciting.
Well, it is that time. And yesterday I was kind of brought to tears a little bit, but we are almost done with the book, and we are on part four today. So do you think it's a good time to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, I think it's great. I'm ready. I'm all comfy in my chair.
Here we go.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 46, Jakes and the Lady. I was sold to a corn dealer and baker whom Jerry knew, and with him he thought I should have good and fair work. In the first, he was quite right. If my master had always been on the premises, I do not think I should have been overloaded, but there was a foreman who was always hurrying and driving everyone, and frequently when I had quite a full load, he would order something else to be put on. Jakes, like the other carters, always had the bearing rein on, which prevented me from drawing easily, and by the time I had been there 3 or 4 months, I found the work telling very much on my strength. My carter often said it was more than I ought to take, but he was otherwise always overruled. 'Twas no use going twice when once would do, and he chose to get business going forward. One day I was loaded more than usual, and part of the road was steep uphill. I used all of my strength, but I could not get on, and I was obliged to continually stop. This did not please my driver, and he laid his whip on badly. "Get on, you lazy fellow, or I'll make you," he said. Again I started with the heavy load and struggled on a few yards, and again the whip came down, and again I struggled forward. The pain in the great cart whip was sharp, but my mind was hurt quite as much as my poor sides. To be punished and abused when I was doing my very best was so hard, and it took the heart out of me. A third time he was flogging me cruelly when a lady stepped up to him and said in a sweet, earnest voice, "Oh, pray do not whip your good horse any more. I am sure he is doing all he can, and the road is very steep. I am sure he is doing his best." "If doing his best won't get this load up, he must do something more than his best. That's all I know, ma'am," said Jakes. "But is it not a very heavy load?" she said. "Oh, yes, too heavy," he said, "but that's not my fault. The foreman came just as we were starting and would have 300 weight more put on to save him the trouble, and I must get on with it as well as I can." He was raising the whip again when the lady said, "Pray stop. I think I can help you if you'll let me." The man laughed. "You see," she said, "you do not give him a fair chance. He cannot use all his power with his head held back as it is with that bearing rein. And if you would take it off, I am sure he would do better." "Do try it," she said persuasively. "I should be very glad if you would." "Well, well," said Jakes with a short laugh. "Anything to please a lady, of course. How far would you wish it down, ma'am?" "Quite down. Give him his head altogether." The rein was taken off, and in a moment I put my head down to my knees. What a comfort it was. Then I tossed it up and down several times to get the aching stiffness out of my neck. "Poor fellow, that is what you wanted," she said, patting and stroking me with her gentle hand. "And now if you'll speak kindly to him and lead him on, I believe he will be able to do better." Jakes took the rein. "Come on, Blackie." I put down my head and threw my whole weight against the collar. I spared no strength. The load moved on, and I pulled it steadily up the hill and then stopped to take breath. The lady had walked along the footpath and now came across the road. She stroked and patted my neck as I had not been patted for many a long day. "You see, he was quite willing when you gave him the chance. I'm sure a fine-tempered creature, and I dare say he has known better days. You won't put that rein on again, will you? For just as he was going to hitch it up on the old plan." "Well, ma'am, I can't deny having his head has helped him up the hill, and I'll remember it another time, and thank you, ma'am. But if he went without a bearing rein, I should be the laughingstock of all the carters. It is the fashion, you see." "Is it not better," she said, "to lead a good fashion than to follow a bad one? A great many gentlemen do not use the bearing reins now, and our carriage horses have worn them for 15 years and worked with much less fatigue than those who have had them. Besides," she added in a very serious voice, "we have no right to distress any of God's creatures without a very good reason. We call them dumb animals, and so they are, for they cannot tell us how they feel. But they do not suffer less because they have no words. But I must not detain you now. I thank you for trying my plan with your good horse, and I'm sure you'll find it far better than the whip. Good day." And with another soft pat on my neck, she stepped lightly across the path, and I saw her no more. That was a real lady, I'll be bound for it, said Jakes to himself. She spoke just as polite as if I was a gentleman, and I'll try her plan, uphill at any rate. I must do him the justice and say that he let my rein out several holes, and going uphill after that, he always gave me my head, but the heavy loads went on. Good feed and fair rest will keep up one's strength under full work, but no horse can stand against overloading, and I was getting so thoroughly pulled down from this cause that a younger horse was brought in my place. I may as well mention here what I suffered at this time from another cause. I had heard horses speak of it, but had never myself experienced the evil. This was a badly lighted stable. There was only one very small window at the end, and the consequence was that the stalls were almost dark. Besides the depressing effect this had on my spirits, it very much weakened my sight, and when I was suddenly brought out of the darkness into the glare of daylight, it was very painful to my eyes. Several times I stumbled over the threshold and could scarcely see where I was going. I believe had I stayed there very long, I should have become pure blind, and that would have been a great misfortune, for I have heard many men say that a stone blind horse was safer to drive than one that which had imperfect sight, and as it generally makes them very timid. However, I escaped without any permanent injury to my sight and was sold to a large cab owner. And tomorrow, chapter 47, Hard Times. I can't find the applause button, so you have to clap, Reese.
That was so sad. I mean, the lady was a champ, but that's really sad. Oh,
here it is.
This is when I had to stop reading. I couldn't read anymore. That's cute.
There we go. I found my own applause.
That was impressive.
Yeah. Again.
Wow.
You stopped reading right there?
I couldn't get through Black Beauty. It was so sad. You know, but that was such a beautiful reading.
Well, there's definitely a little bit more downhill to go, but you have to finish the book because, let's see, tomorrow's chapter 47, Hard Times, and then Monday, chapter 48, Farmer Thoroughbred and his grandson, Willie, and it, that's a nice one.
It's getting
that's
better.
We like grandson Willie.
Yay!
Well, it is this time of day where we play a song, and I gotta tell you, Glenn posted a song from a band called Coyote Run, and it's called The Battle of New Orleans, and he says it's one of his favorite groups, many styles of music put together. And Jennifer, I heard that you like this song too.
Oh, it's fun, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, we're not going to play that one.
I suspect it as much.
Seriously, Glenn wants to play some battle song as he's driving on. You know what, dude? That's what you have an iPod for. This is what we're going to play today. This is for the girls' day. Okay, we're going to play a girls' song, and it's called "Girls and Horses" by Templeton Thompson. And here it is.
She talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those endless. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that so much better than the battle hymn of the Republic or whatever he was
going to play? Yes, for sure. And Templeton is so sweet. She, Jamie, last time since, you know, and now you have, I know you like me since you asked me to come, but the last few times I've been on for Cooking with Reese, you haven't been here, but that's okay. But Templeton was here last time, and she was, she's awesome, and I've met her a few times at different events, and I saw her once in Midway, Kentucky, so she's just a really neat person, and yeah, so I love her CD, and I love her songs, and she's just a wonderful horsewoman, and I, you know, has the right feeling, so I like her.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great song, Girls and Horses. It's my favorite one. So since Glenn was not here, I got to play it again. And we're also, tomorrow, I'm going to play another one of my favorite songs, whether he likes it or not. So stick around for tomorrow's show. So today, obviously, is brought to you by horseshow.com, and we would like to thank them so much for sponsoring. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Glenn is currently on his way to a Renaissance festival wearing tights, and my co-host today is Reese Koffler-Stanfield, who is a fantastic Grand Prix dressage rider, and I say that because I'm jealous.
You just need to come for lessons.
Well, I still need to.
Yeah.
We need to not do it at the end of Rolex. We need to do it at the beginning of my trip.
Beginning, yeah.
When we're not exhausted. But we will do that. But we got. I'm going to pick your brain a little bit about dressage after we talk to Megan, the intern from the Chronicle of the Horse. And Megan does work for the Chronicle, and she is no longer an intern, but we call her Megan the intern because that's where she started with us. So good morning, Megan.
Good morning. How are you, Reese?
I'm great, Megan. How are you?
Good. It's been forever since I've seen you.
I know. Now, did you get to go to the Europeans?
Oh, God, no. Yes, I know. We were just talking about that yesterday. I was talking to Matthias because I'm writing an article on him, and we were trying to talk to some other people, and we're like, well, if we'd just gone to the Europeans, then I could have done the interviews while I was over there. So, That'll be my next goal. I'm going to try to, maybe we can work that into the budget for next year.
Like I said, I would be so jealous. But what can you tell us? What's the reporting from the Europeans?
What is the reporting from the Europeans? Well, I mean, I guess the biggest story is just that the British team is just, you know, they're on fire. And so I think that's, we're coming up, we're, you know, maybe trying to talk to Carl Hester and just see what exactly, you know, what they're saying, you know, is the reason that they've finally hit the top. You know, they say it's years in the making, and, you know, he was quoted saying that, you know, that there have been people kind of in the British dressage dark era that have stuck with them, and, you know, now that, and they kind of came into the Europeans this year as kind of the shoe-in to win, and, you know, everyone is saying now that for the Olympics next year on home turf that, you know, they're the team to beat, and certainly, you know, they're showing it. So that's,
I think it's so exciting. When I was in Europe, I had the opportunity of training with some of the British riders, and that was the time when they were really just working hard. And so I'm really excited. For example, Emma Hindle was at the same barn with me for 2 years, and so she is having a baby, but I think she's also going to be back for London next year, and I'm just so excited for them because I have seen them working really, really hard, and
I think it's probably exciting, too, for Charlotte, just it being, like, her first year in Grand Prix, and here she is to, you know, she's part of the gold medal European Dressage Championships, you know, and so it's just everything. They seem, you know, and she's working for Carl, so that they're just, I think they're probably a really close-knit team, and they've just put the hard work into it, and now they're it's paying off, so.
Right, right. No, I think it's great.
So, yeah, and so I'm working on an article for our dressage issues coming up, and it will come out in September, but I was talking to Matthias yesterday about, you know, and one of the questions I asked him is, you know, how did he feel about his performance at the Europeans, and, you know, does he get disappointed and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, I think he's probably so tired of dealing with all of the drama involved. And whenever he doesn't win, everyone says that, you know, it wasn't a good idea for him to get the horse. But I have to say he was refreshingly, he was honest, and it was a really enjoyable interview. And I think he seems like a really nice guy. He's young, and he's got the most amazing horse in the world. And
Matthias now rides Totalist. That's who Matthias is, and he's in his own right rode in the World Championships here, and he's a young guy, 26 or so, and he gets a ride on Totalist, which I would say that every rider in the world would like the opportunity in some way, and in some way that's incredibly hard to follow up in such a short period of time. I mean, he got the horse pretty much right after the World Games, and That's a difficult thing to do. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say in your article and how he's dealing with the pressure. You know, that was
look
that,
at
like
you, girl, though. Megan, the intern, getting the big interviews.
Hello. How exciting is that?
Oh, yes. You know.
When they gave that to you, were you nervous? Were you like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that I have to interview the Totalist rider. Oh, my God.
No, actually, what we do is we sit around in meetings and we brainstorm, and it was kind of my idea to do the story. So, you know, if you think up an idea, and then most of the time you end up taking that story. So
I would like to go to Europe and write an article about horse fans at the national, you know.
Yeah, I'm breaking the amendment a little bit before. I'm like, you know, I think it would be a great idea if I went to the Greek islands and looked at horses there. You know.
Let us know how that works. You know,
how that works
the Chronicle. You know, if you get that angle, please let us know.
I'll send in my resume. I'm sending my resume.
We're accepting interns. So.
So what else is going on at the Chronicle? What else are you doing there? Like, fill me in. I haven't seen you in at least a year.
Well, you know, we are gearing up. I'm going to be at Dressage at Devon, which I'm particularly excited about. So that's we're gearing up for fall.
Are you going to that
reach?
Are you going to Dressage?
I am not going to Devon this year. I am not. I'm going to I'm going to be in Hawaii with my husband.
Oh.
if I'm not going to be in Devon, I want to be in Hawaii with Travis. So we're actually celebrating our anniversary. So.
Oh, that's great. Where are you going in Hawaii?
You know, I'm hoping my husband's working on that because I haven't had any chance to sit down and actually do that. So I know we have play tickets, but the rest is his job.
Okay.
I've been everywhere. Call me. I've been everywhere.
I'll call
in
you. I will call you after the show. That would be awesome. So, Megan, how is it? Do you like it? Do you like Virginia? You moved from Kentucky, so what are you thinking?
No, it's great up here. I really do. I really like and, of course, there are horses all over the place here in Middleburg, Virginia, so you're never at a loss for horses to ride, and I actually just moved into my own little place, and I have horses out front. I have a friend's horse that stays with me, and then a horse of my own that stays there. So that's actually so nice because, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to have my horses at where I lived. So everything just feels like it's kind of, you know, coming together, at least for a little while. And it's exciting. And then, like I said, indoors are getting ready to start for the Hunter Jumper Circuit. So I'm getting ready to head to the Hamptons for the Hampton Classic. And
that's a sad one.
Yeah. And And then some, you know, once later into, I guess, then there's Harrisburg. You know, we hit September's still kind of, everything's still out. And then I'm at Dressage at Devon at the end, which I always, whenever I was kind of younger, I always had this idea of Dressage at Devon just had this huge, you know, this like huge meaning. And then when we were putting assignments this year, I was like, oh, I really want to go to Dressage at Devon. So.
Well, you will have a blast. They just redid the footing there, and I think it will be just a really, really fun event. And we'll have to follow up and send me a Facebook message and let me know what you think.
Absolutely. But, how's everything going with your new place, Reese?
Everything's great. We're loving Kentucky, and I'm loving my new place. So when you're here for the indoor, for the Nationals, mm-hmm. the Olympic Nationals, come over. I would love
yeah,
it.
I would love to see it. I definitely would. So.
Well, it's so great to talk to you. And,
it is
you know,
great to talk to you, too.
We'll keep in touch. And,
I will.
You know,
better
we can't wait to read the article.
Stay tuned about, yes, stay tuned for that big article. So
that sounds
there'll
great.
Be some revealing information that the American public didn't know about Matthias Roth. So.
I can't wait, and I'm so excited for you got that interview. That's a fun.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. So it's always nice to actually completely, you know, enjoy what you're doing. You're sitting there on the phone, and you're chatting with somebody, and then you realize, oh, this is what I do for work. So it's nice.
Well, congratulations. You've been working really hard and have made you from Megan the intern to Megan the employee of the Chronicle. Congratulations.
Thanks, Megan. Take
You're
care.
You're welcome. Thanks. You guys have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Of course, her website is cronofhorse.com, and that's where you can find this article, and I'm assuming it's probably going to be posted now or in a couple of days. Reese, what are your show plans? What are you doing? I mean, you're going to Hawaii during Devon, but do you have some upper-level competition horses right now? Who's in your barn?
Well, I do not, actually. Casper just retired, which is wonderful. He found a wonderful friend of mine has him, and he just won High Point Horse in Tampa at fourth level a couple weeks ago, so he's loving his new life. So we're busy here, though. My barn is full. And I have two wonderful young riders that we're really focusing for next year for the qualifying. And then I have some wonderful young horses in training, and we're going to our regional finals at the end of September. And my eventers are all kind of gearing up. I have really a great group of horses that are just about ready to go advanced. So this is my first time having this many horses. I think I have 5 horses going to advance in eventing. So I will do a couple things with them. We have Kentucky Classic here. So I'll go and see their tests, and I don't usually get to go to the big events unless they need me to. But I'm really hoping that one of them qualifies for Rolex, so I can do that at Rolex, which would be amazing. So
you have 5 advanced riders for eventing riding underneath you right now? Who are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jen O'Neill, Megan Moore has 2 horses. I guess it's 4. And Heather Johnson.
Oh,
so
wow.
I have four. So Megan has 2 horses, and Jen has a horse that I've worked with her from the time Lewis was 5. So it's been fun to see him kind of go through from beginner novice all the way to advanced. You know, that's as a trainer, that's one of your most exciting things. And Heather Johnson also has a wonderful horse that I've been helping her for the last year or so. So it's fun. It's being here in Lexington, I get the opportunity to also coach eventers, and I really, really appreciate them. And I do walk the cross-country course every once in a while with them. I try not to wince when I see the big fences, but that's really something that I enjoy along with my dressage. And then I have, like I said, my young riders here and then several young horses. So they are keeping me busy for sure.
So what I was going to do is just ask a couple basic dressage training questions, because when you're taking horses, that are, you know, all the way beginner novice to advanced, there's a lot of stuff that you have to do with, and you must understand the event horse mentality pretty well, which is definitely different, I would say, than a dressage horse's mentality, because they're meant to go gallop and run, and you have to contain the event horses. But I would assume that it's the same no matter what. When you're teaching lead changes, flying lead changes, and I want to know, I was trying to think of like something that everybody is going to eventually have to teach their horse, that we could just ask, do a little Ask Reese segment. So to put you on the spot, I should have probably let you know this ahead of time. If you can explain it in short form, what is your way to teach a horse to do a flying lead change?
Sure. So in dressage, we see lead changes for the first time at third level test one, and the event horses see them the first time in the advanced test. What I will tell you is changes themselves are really dictated by the quality of canter. So if you have a good quality of canter, more than likely you will get a good flying change. And so when I have my horses, now the event horses in this case are a little different because they do flying changes when they do jumping. But I like to teach changes pretty early. I like to start changes when my horses, they have a nice balanced canter, usually around 5 or 6. Now, again, these are horses that I have in training, so that they know that this flying change aid is out there. I think a lot of times people wait too long. And both in the dressage and the eventing, you have a lot of counter canter that you show right before you have to teach your flying changes. So I think it's important to teach your horse early on, hey, this is a flying change, this is out here, and then wait a little longer till you have the correct balance. One of the exercises that I want to make sure my horses can do before I really start doing changes, they really want to see a canter transition. Let's say we're on a 20-meter circle, and I want to see a canter walk transition from, we'll be on the left lead, so you're cantering and you need to have a balanced canter to walk transition and then be able to pick up the counter canter lead and a walk transition.
Okay.
You will see that kind of the same idea in the intermediate test now for the eventers. Same thing, you see it a little bit in dressage. But I want to have the balance to be able to do the counter canter and the walk transition. Once you've kind of gotten over that hurdle, then I like to practice being able to activate my horse a little bit. A lot of times horses will have late changes because they're not active behind. So that's something that we watch from the very beginning. It just depends. It's a strength issue. I see it a lot in my eventers because dressage horses work on really sitting behind and carrying behind. While, you know, we do a lot of hill work here for that. The eventers do a lot of hill work, but they do a different type of hill work. So I think that's really important. The other thing I say to my students, unless you've taught changes, even for myself, I like to have a ground person when I start changes, either a trainer or a friend who knows what a clean flying change should be. Once horses do late changes, it's extremely difficult to change that mentality and that mindset. So that's one of the things that I say is when you start changes, have somebody around, at least in the beginning, that knows what they're doing. That would be the way to go there. So those are the kind of things that we start with. We start with balance. We start with the quality of canter. The canter walk is one of the things. A late change is a change where the hind leg and the front leg do not match. Typically, the hind leg is one stride late. Basically, the horse changes up front and takes another step and changes behind.
You see that a lot. I think mostly prevalent in the hunter world, where they take a horse and they come down the line of jumps, and then they just kind of turn, like pull the left rein, and the horse switches
right
in the front. Switches to, like, say, the left lead in the front, but is still cantering on the right lead behind.
Right lead behind.
Now, that
yep
would be, yeah, they call that cross-firing, cross-cantering. But then they will switch it like a little bit later. And in this case, what you're saying is one stride later.
Right.
And it's definitely, for those who don't know, it's definitely a very challenging ride to be sitting on a horse that is cantering on one lead in the front and one lead in the back. It's awful.
Yeah.
So you always know when it's happening.
Yeah, you do. You do. In a flying change, it happens pretty quickly. So, sometimes you don't know, you feel it, but it's a difficult thing to change and to fix because that becomes the way the horse does that flying change. And in dressage, if you get a late change, you will get a four. So, you want to, it's just one of those things that if you can avoid even going there, that's perfect. And another way people do teach changes, I don't do it as much, is using a pole on the ground for flying changes. Again, my horses don't know enough about poles that they kind of clue into it. So my event horses would. But when I go to ask for a flying change, let's say, again, you want to look at your quality of canter. If your horse is cantering and he's up and in front of you and in front of your leg and a nice balanced canter, if you ride on a short diagonal, a short, line, and go into a corner, typically they will do a change. Now, again, if it's late or not, that's where it comes into the technicality of the changes. But that's a good way to do it. Sometimes on my young horses, I'll just canter across the diagonal, and if I have a good canter, I go ahead and ask for the change and see what I get. The other way I like to do it, and again, these are with the older horses. In the beginning with the young horses, we're just playing. It's just so they kind of know that is out there. And I don't get so technical about late changes and that kind of thing. But when they get older, a lot of times a horse is slower on one hind leg or the other. And that's where it gets to be a bit of a challenge. So another thing that I do is I ride a teardrop loop. So let's say I go to E and then I want to push the horse back toward the rail, and then ask for the flying change. That's another way that you can do it. Changes are tricky, I will tell you. They are one of the hardest things to teach. So that's why I tell people, if you ever want to go to a clinic or, work with your trainer, that's the time. Because once you do it a few times and you have a system and a way that you like to do it, then you're in good shape. But, in the first time you teach changes, I would suggest, just go to your trainer for the first couple times or get it videoed so you can see kind of what the mechanics of your horse, what your horse is doing.
Okay. I've been taking notes because obviously, I think this is a great topic for a lot of people, but it was kind of more asking for me.
Because
I'm working on this horse right now, Reese, and when I go, I can canter half pass. He's fantastically balanced. I think his level of fitness it just needs to get better because what he does is we'll canter half pass across the arena. I'll ask for the flying change in the corner, and he just starts a bucking. I mean, not like bucking like he's going to buck me off, but like he really bucks like twice and then gets the flying change and then canters on. Is that just a weakness?
Yeah, it sounds like a weakness. One of the things that you could do with that horse is in the half pass, instead of go ahead and do your half pass, let's say, to the left, and then in the half pass, you can bend him to the right and really put your right leg on. So you're asking him to really get stronger on the right hind. Typically, your right hind is your weaker hind. And don't ask for the flying change. Do that a few times as you ride him. Bend him to the left, then bend it to the right, so you're technically right-heeling, and then bend it back to the left. But as you bend it to the right, you want to really activate that new inside hind leg. And see if that helps. But it sounds like that probably is a fitness. If he knows what to do with the flying change, he understands the change, then it sounds like he's just struggling to do it. Kind of like Black Beauty pulling up the mountain. You got to loosen the strap on him. The bearing rein. I couldn't remember what it was called. That's my lack of driving knowledge. But
yeah, yeah, well, They don't call it a bearing rein anymore. Glenn says there's a friendlier thing that they do. It's called check rein or whatever.
Okay.
But it still sounds like the bearing rein to me. But listen, yeah. Reese, this has been awesome. Thank you for doing – I know we didn't do cooking with Reese, but we did dressage tips with Reese, and I'm going to have to make that another segment because you're great at explaining it. And even though I'm not on a horse and even though I'm not looking at a dressage arena, I could totally picture the way that you're describing it. So thank you for being such a great teacher. Now I know why you have all those students. And I'm going to come take a lesson. And so is Jennifer, right, Jennifer?
Jennifer's just around the corner. She has no, yeah, she's just around
the
corner.
My goal is to take a lesson at a walk.
anything. You know, I can make a horse sweat at the walk. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, you could go walk to Passage. I mean, you know.
That would be fabulous.
There you go. So, listen, Reese, it has been awesome. I want to tell everybody to please be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. And, Reese, while I'm doing this little spiel here, you got to think of a catchphrase, like something that you say all the time, maybe to your riders, like, you know, change your diagonal or I don't know what. Think of it right now because you're going to have to end the show with your catchphrase.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you thinking of one?
Yes. I've got one.
Okay, don't ruin it yet. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com and follow us on Facebook, search for Horses in the Morning. We're on Twitter at Horse Radio. And obviously, we would like to thank horseshow.com for sponsoring the show today. And you can check out recorded versions of any of these shows on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow morning, and I'll have another co-host because Glenn is still going to be wearing tights up in Pennsylvania. I would like to say goodbye, Reese.
Goodbye, Jamie. Goodbye, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. And what I always tell my students is be safe and happy riding.
Be safe and happy riding. That's the perfect catchphrase. Perfect. Be safe, happy riding. Everybody, please spay, neuter, and geld.